This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
This episode of Know-How is brought to you by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/know-how.
Today on Know-How,
cord cutting
and your questions and projects. Welcome to Know How. This is a show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm your host, Brian Burnett.
And I'm Nathan Olivares-Giles.
And today we will be taking the knowledge of streaming devices and your questions, bottling it up, packaging it, and giving it back to you. That's the best I could come up with. Padre always has something really weird, like I'm going to pour knowledge in your ear and you'll remember it. But that was my version.
So. I like that. I like that. It's going to be a cord-cutting knowledge souffle,
yeah,
topped in goodness of your questions.
Oh, see, you can tell who's been cooking a lot.
Yeah. I've been on that Blue Apron lately, man.
You exactly. Know? You have all these new techniques for not just food, but knowledge. Yeah, yeah. Put together a recipe. Now, this episode was inspired by a few people on our Google Plus community who were asking about cutting the cord, what kind of streaming services are available. There's a lot of different choices out. It can be really overwhelming. And it can actually be more expensive to cut the cord with all these different packages that you can get than just keeping your cable subscription. So we're going to talk about a few of them.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the interesting things that I found, because I had DirecTV maybe like 6 years ago. I had the NFL Sunday ticket. I was paying for all the sports packages. Yeah. I had all the HBO. I had everything.
Had your HD DVR too, right?
All that stuff. Yeah. All that stuff. And my bill was massive. And finally, I just said, forget it. I'm cutting the cord. When the previous generation Apple TV had just come out, there was enough apps at that point. It was mostly streaming stuff. And now I'm in a situation where I moved into a new place. I took over the existing cable TV and internet service contract. I was going to cut it down to just internet, and it would have cost me more. So now I have like a basic cable TV package. I have a cable box in my closet because I don't even use it.
Don't even plug it in.
And I'm still mostly streaming stuff from my PlayStation, my Xbox, and my Apple TV.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're...
Yeah, it's still less than what I was paying before, but it's cheaper to pay for some cable that I don't use than to not have cable at all.
Well, so I actually went to Comcast just this last week because the introductory price for internet for me, which was 30 megabytes down, 5 up, which was fine for the needs that I have. But they gave me a TV box that never worked. And after the year of the introductory price, it goes up to $80. So I went
in. That's how they get you. They try and jack those prices up. Yep. Those promo prices... not fun.
Well, I went in and I said, I don't want this box. I just want internet, and can I keep it low? And they're like, actually, you should hang on to this box. Call our loyalty program. Tell them how much you love TV, and then maybe they'll give you that loyalty price again for another year. I'm like, okay, great. So you gotta hang on to this box that you're just going to keep in your closet, and just so that you can have the thing that you want, which is internet.
It kind of drives me nuts, but they make it a bit of a game, and they give the customer service people some leeway here. Every time that I've threatened to leave a cable provider, including DirecTV years ago, they came out with another promotion just to try and keep me on. At that point, I actually, broke that relationship off currently with my current
Sometimes you have to follow through, right?
Sometimes
you can't just
through.
Do empty threats.
Sometimes you got to follow through. But, every single time I've threatened to leave, they'll offer to cut that bill, which is crazy to me, the fact that they can. And then they just won't do it all of the time. But you and I are in the same situation where it's cheaper to have that basic cable package, that cable box you don't use, and still adding on these cord-cutting options. But there's so many options. How do we make sense of all these things?
Okay, yeah, well, you got to break it down on what devices that you're comfortable with using. Like you said, I have an Xbox, so that has a few apps that work with that. Mm-hmm. But you also have a PlayStation, which there's the PlayStation, what is it called, View?
It's called PlayStation View. It's interesting. Originally, I was watching this streaming service on my PlayStation 4. Now, what PlayStation View is it's basically a bundle of cable channels and local TV as well that you can watch live as it happens, just like a cable package. But they also offer a cloud DVR. So if you want to watch something, like I'm looking forward to seeing that new 3-on-3 basketball tournament, the big three, like Ice Cube formed it with Allen Iverson and stuff like that. I'm not going to be able to watch it when it airs at like 5 p.m. Won't be home by then, so I'm going to DVR it. That gives me the option to do that, right? So there's some great stuff like that. I started subscribing to that a while ago. Back then, it was just that and really Sling TV that were offering such things. But, you know, it's stuff like Comedy Central, ESPN, all of your news networks. What else? The Independent Film Channel, stuff like that. So you can get basically all of the shows that you would want, and you can watch them on demand or live. Now, though, PlayStation View now has apps for your Apple TV, for your Chromecast, for your iPhone, your Android phone. So you don't really have to have a PlayStation to be a PlayStation View subscriber.
That's smart. How much is it to subscribe?
Let's see here. I'm paying, I think it's $40 a month.
Okay.
And I'm getting basically all of the cable channels I could want, except for Showtime and HBO. Those are the two that I'm not getting in those packages.
Yeah.
The channels that you get will vary by different markets. Some include local channels. Mine in San Francisco does.
Okay.
Some don't. It really depends on where you're at. And I have about, I think it's like 50 channels altogether, 45 to 50 channels altogether.
Okay, and so you can watch like local sports events and things like that?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a big NBA fan, and so I'm watching, you know, all that stuff, Warriors and things like that.
Nice.
Even though Warriors aren't my favorite team, when the teams that I like come to town to play them, I want to be able to see those games and not miss out. Same way, like, I'm a huge Dodgers fan. I'm paying for the MLB package, which is its own thing. But then when they come to play the Giants, I can watch those games because they're on, like, the local Comcast sports channel.
Right. Wow. I'm learning so much. You're not a Warriors fan, and you're a Dodgers fan.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I agreed to doing this show.
I live in the Bay, but I'm not from the Bay.
All right. Yeah, I guess I can grant you that. I'm from the Bay, so little history there. Okay, so that's a great option. We would be remiss if we didn't name some of the big ones, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of, but like Netflix, big collection. Although one of the big downsides of Netflix is that there's a lot of things that kind of rotate through their catalog.
Yeah, when you first originally, probably like years ago, subscribed to Netflix, you're doing it so you could watch movies on demand. Right. It started out, I'm paying Netflix, I'm getting the DVDs in when I want.
Right.
Oh, now they have a streaming service. Okay, I can just watch these movies on demand. Now, really, the reason why I think most of us are paying for Netflix is because of their original content. Mm-hmm. I'm paying for it for House of Cards. I'm paying for it for Master of None. Yeah. I'm paying for it for all the great comedy specials. Tracy Morgan, Hasan Minhaj, Michael Che, you know, all these really great things that you literally don't get anywhere else.
Right.
So if you want to pay for it so you can see, like, you know, Disney movies with your kids or whatever, that's fine. If you want to pay for it, so you can see like BBC shows that you can't get anywhere else, that's a good reason too. If you want to pay for it to watch Cartoon Network's old Star Wars, the Clone Wars cartoon.
Who our TD is a fan of as well.
I'm a massive fan of. Patrick is a fan of as well. Then that's a good option. Yeah. But really, it's that original content.
And Mystery Science Theater, the new ones.
Just came back, so that's on Netflix too. Oh, yeah. There's lots of good stuff there. Similarly, with Hulu, I originally started paying for that so I could get access to, at that time, the Criterion Collection. And then, like, TV stuff, like Fox and all this. Now, Hulu Originals, their original content, is fantastic. The Handmaid's Tale is a really big deal these days. Since then, the Criterion Collection, which is basically like if you're a film nerd, I'm sure you already know about the Criterion Collection. But if you don't, you know, they basically take like artistic films, historically important films, you know, remaster them, give them to you in like great high quality Blu-ray sets with like, you know, a big book full of essays and interpretations of what the films mean and all this stuff, historical significance. But They also have streaming service. So their streaming service is called Filmstruck.
Oh, cool.
And I think that's maybe like $10 a month. Okay. I'm paying for that as well. but, you know, outside of the $40 I'm paying for PlayStation View, I'm probably giving Hulu $10 a month. I'm giving Netflix $10 a month. And I'm giving Filmstruck $10 a month.
Starting to add up a little bit.
And yeah, and then I have the MLB package. I have the NBA package. I have the NHL package. I got the MLS package. I'm paying
I thought
for
I was
sports.
Bad, but okay.
And then... All right, this is the last one that I'll mention before we get into talking about YouTube TV, Sling TV, and Hulu with live TV, also DirecTV Now, all the competitors to PlayStation View. Fubo TV is a recommendation. I think it's about $8 a month. And with Fubo TV, I get to watch international soccer. So I'm watching German soccer. I'm watching Spanish soccer. And there are a couple, like, obscure cable networks, like Robert Rodriguez's El Rey Network. So he has some original content on there. There's, like, a From Dusk Till Dawn television series that I really like. And some other options there. So Fubo TV is a recommendation if you're really into sports. I watch it mostly for La Liga, Spanish soccer. So that stuff's there. They also have Formula One, a lot of motorsports and racing, and NBC Sports packages too. So I'm into soccer, I'm into motorsports, and that's a really great option for me too.
You mentioned the soccer thing and the sports, and that you're subscribed to MLB and whatever.
So annually I buy the MLB package so I can watch baseball games, and you have on-demand as well as shortened games. So what they'll do is they'll remove all the commercial breaks, they'll remove all like the stoppage, and they'll condense the game, which is kind of a nice way to catch up. You know, baseball games like 3 or 4 hours.
That's nice, especially if you miss it live.
Yeah. So if I come home, I'm eating dinner, 45 minutes, I get to see basically the best parts of that game.
Okay,
right?
Cool.
Major League Soccer, I'm a big soccer fan, try to support the game in the U.S., not just the stuff happening in Europe and Mexico, as I watch in the Fubo TV app. So Major League Soccer has its package, and I subscribe to that as well.
Okay, cool. It's fun that you mentioned that, because like I had totally forgotten. I subscribe to MotoGP, which is $120 for a year.
Yeah.
But that... It's worth it for me, because a lot of this stuff I would not be able to have access to if I couldn't just pay for an online subscription.
Exactly. That's the thing is, you know, there are maybe things that you're nerdy about, things that you want to support, things that you're into. And the benefit of streaming, really, for me, of cord cutting, is watching it on demand.
When I want to.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't have to adjust my life to when you air something I want to see, right? And I don't have to DVR it. I can watch it whenever I want. So, you know, MotoGP for you, motorcycle racing is that thing.
Right.
That's valuable for you. And no cable service is offering these sorts of things that are so flexible yet. I think cable is starting to kind of catch up to streaming. DirecTV Now, the package from AT&T's DirecTV service, is kind of a step in that direction, but really that's the advantage of cord cutting.
Right. And I want to mention HBO just because I think everyone my age steals their parents' HBO subscription.
I have a login and a password that I use on the HBO Go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names and tell you where I came from, but no, I'm not paying for it right now.
Not my parents. But HBO Go is a good one, but like Netflix, it's all original content. I mean, that's where I go to watch Game of Thrones, John Oliver, Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
I probably would subscribe if I didn't know somebody who would let me borrow their email and password, but that's one of my favorites. And then the other one that I use is YouTube TV, which is relatively new, but
that's newer on the block, probably the newest of all these services we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's closer, I think, to the PlayStation one you're speaking to. It's $35 a month. It has the online DVR function. But there's a caveat that they will throw in ads if you use the DVR function, which is kind of a pain. But this is what I use to watch a lot of shows. Like I did a separate subscription so I can watch Twin Peaks, which is Showtime, which is another, I think, $7 a month. But that allows me to watch Showtime, and then I will DVR like Giants games and set things. There are shows that I can set that I like Bob's Burgers. It'll record automatically, or Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And things like that.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, one of my favorite shows on TV.
So while I don't use cable, TV cable, this is like my way of being able to watch sports when they're on. And because I have Chromecast, like you said, you have Apple TV. I have Chromecast in like every room now.
Oh, okay.
I like just being able to cast stuff to like a cast of the bedroom, cast of the living room.
So easy to do. Are you using the Chromecast 4K or using the old regular Chromecast? Because the regular Chromecast is like $35. And the 4K unit, how much is that one? Do you know?
So the 4K one, I believe, is $60. Okay. Unfortunately, I do not have a 4K TV.
So then no need for the Chromecast
4K. So no
4K.
Reason for me to do that. But this leads me into why I even started using YouTube TV to begin with. The first month was free. Pay for the second month, you get another Chromecast.
So, they give you a Chromecast.
So, well, yes.
What?
You're basically either paying for a Chromecast or you're paying for a month of YouTube TV, whichever way you want to look at it.
Does Google actually send you that in the mail, or are you saying it's really?
Yeah. So
That's awesome.
I'm probably going to pay for it for another month because I want to keep watching Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the first month was free. Then they sent me a Chromecast for paying for a second month, and it's the newer Chromecast, which part of the reason why I bought that was because I have three Chromecasts total. One was the original, which is now sometimes what will happen is if you cast to that, it'll say, this is an older device. Yeah. You should probably upgrade if you want like no interruption in your streaming.
It's obnoxious because there's very little difference between the original Chromecast and the newer ones. Mm-hmm. They're all $35. But these aren't, you know, let's be real. Like, a $35 Chromecast is not a device that's built to last.
No.
That's going to last you a couple years. It's not something you're going to be using in 10 years.
Right.
I don't like the idea of disposable technology, but at the same time, making technology be accessible is a hugely important thing. It's something I really believe in. And so it's nice to see Google offering such a capable device at such a low price. But it's kind of a bummer that they're nudging you to upgrade.
Yeah, they were nudging me to upgrade, so that's part of the reason why I fell for it. But there was a noticeable difference because the way I do it now is the Chromecast is plugged into my Xbox One HDMI port.
Interesting. Okay.
So I basically am streaming to the Xbox, making it think that I have cable. But the newer Chromecast, $35. When I upgrade my TV, though, I'm gonna get like a 4K version of it.
Yeah.
So I'll be buying another Chromecast sooner or later.
Yeah, and well, I guess in all the Chromecasts you buy, you know, it kind of adds up. But if you have one for all your TVs and you're getting 4K, it might be worthwhile for your situation, right?
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see that YouTube has gotten into this game because I watch so much stuff on YouTube. There are like literally shows that I like that are only available on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
That aren't available anywhere else. I used to love Speed Vision. Now it's called the Speed Network, I think. It's just called
Speed. I think
so,
yeah.
And there was a ton of shows back then. And the closest thing I can find to what I loved of Speed Vision back in the day are basically shows that are found on YouTube. So there's a group called Donut Media, and they just make like a lot of car culture stuff. There's a fellow named Matt Farah who does a show called The Smoking Tire that's only available on YouTube.
Okay.
They're like all these really kind of great shows. Sometimes their episodes are like 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that would work in a television format. But I end up watching a ton of YouTube on my TV using the YouTube app on my PlayStation.
Okay, so
Google hasn't updated the YouTube app on the Apple TV and it's sorely outdated.
Yeah.
Google, can you please like get to that?
But, okay. Well, do you use YouTube Red or do you subscribe to that?
Yeah, I have YouTube Red, which gives you a YouTube Music subscription too, even though I don't really use that.
That's why I have it, because I subscribe to Google Play Music.
Yeah, I watch so much YouTube that I end up subscribing to YouTube Red. Let me ask you, with YouTube TV, since you're a subscriber, mm-hmm. does that include the YouTube Red and the Google Play Music subscription, or is that still separate?
Nope, that's all separate. So
I'm paying, I was hoping that would be there.
I think I'm paying $15 because I decided to do the family plan so that I can share, me and my wife can have separate Google Music playlists.
Mm-hmm.
And that, with that subscription to Google Play Music, I get YouTube Red, which eliminates ads in YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but that's separate from YouTube TV, which is $35. So
yeah, it's funny because I don't use Google Play Music that much. I'm mostly an Apple Music listener.
Uh-huh.
But I like to not have the ads on my YouTube, so I'm paying for Red. And I've been thinking, okay, if I move from PlayStation TV over to YouTube TV, would Red come along with me? I'm a bit bummed to hear that it doesn't.
No. At least not yet, but I don't know. They haven't indicated at all if they're going to do that.
Now, YouTube TV also includes a cloud DVR, right?
It does, but I think I mentioned that if you use the cloud DVR for YouTube TV, it interstitches ads.
That's so crazy.
And you know what? So the part of the reason why I pay extra for Hulu was to eliminate the ads. Not so much for myself, but just so I didn't have to hear the same ad playing over and over and over, which I'm sure that's what they're getting at.
Yeah.
But it's the same way with YouTube TV, is that it's generally the same ad that they've
been... Every single time.
And they don't even, like, cut it at a good point in the show that you're watching. It's just like, oh, it's been 15 minutes, and boom, here's an ad. Another 15 minutes. So there's not, like, a natural break where they drop these things in a lot of the time.
Kind of a pain.
But one thing that we haven't mentioned yet is that we've given you all these options, but maybe there's a better way to kind of drill down to the ones that will work best for you. Now, you had mentioned a Wall Street Journal link that kind of helps you with that.
Yeah, my past colleagues from back during my Wall Street Journal times, Jeffrey Fowler and John Keegan, built basically a calculator online to help you understand which of these packages work for you. Because some streaming services offer some cable channels, some don't. So basically, you can select a few shows or channels, and then you can pick your internet service provider, and it'll give you a recommendation. So in this case, it recommends a Sling TV, which is the cheapest of these cable-like streaming services for cord cutters.
Right.
This starts at $20 a month, but really, if you're going to want to use it the way that I'm using PlayStation Now or the way that you're probably using YouTube TV, you're probably going to be spending more like $40 to $50 a month.
Okay.
It does have a cloud DVR, but that's currently like in a beta situation. And it's just like many of these services, they're going to work on your Amazon Fire TV, your Android, your Apple TVs, your Chromecasts, and your Rokus. Sling TV, I believe, is also on the PlayStation. I'm not sure if it's on the Xbox.
This
is a great way to figure out, okay, wow, there's so many there's so many shows that I watch. There's so many different streaming services. Which one is the right one for me? So,
but if you're a big Star Wars Rebels fan,
YouTube TV is probably the way to go. Now, if you just enter into Google WSJ streaming TV calculator, you'll come across this. It's a really great, simple tool to help you find a starting point. But
this is really cool.
Yeah, but really, you know, like a lot of these networks, a lot of these streaming services have the same core channels, but then there's some stuff that you really have to look through and see, okay, what are the channels that I care about? What am I watching the most? And what devices do I have? And it's good to comparison shop. You don't just want to say, okay, you know, Nate said PlayStation View, Brian said YouTube TV, I'll sign up for that. Yeah. Take the time to actually see what you're using, see what devices you have, and what works bang for your buck.
Yeah, and think about what shows are important to you. What are things that you watch right now that you're like, I can't necessarily live without? I'm sure a lot of us could live with a lot less TV. But there are certain things that, like, I really want to be able to watch this. Oh, good. This is bundled with that other thing that I want to watch. So,
yeah. There are options out there, and you know, it just pays to take the time to figure that out.
Well, and then one of the other options comes from a question that somebody asked us in the group, and this one came from Frank Lord, and he asked, "Hello, fellow Kitas. I'm trying to finally cut the cable, and I was wanting some input, fellow know-howers, on the best way to do that. I'm thinking of an Android TV box," which I haven't used an Android TV box in a long time. Mm-hmm. "Just go to Chromecast. That supports cable streaming or HD home TV tuner that I have and he has a pass for Plex and a PC that he's using as a media server, but he wanted to know what the best solution might be." So this is an option if you are someone who has a lot of local storage and a lot of, like, movies that you've taken the time to rip, or even music. Like, it doesn't matter if it's TV shows, movies, music. Plex is an app that I wanted to mention because you can buy a pass for that, and it will play just about any media format. You can download it for your phone. You can use it on most of any, like, set-top boxes that you have.
Yeah, it works with the Apple TV. I know I have some friends who use it with that. I think it also works with a lot of Android and Chromecast solutions too.
Yeah, so in another thing, if some of the features, if you do end up paying for the pass, which the pass, I think it's like $4.99 a month, and then it like increments up if you want to do it monthly or like buy a lifetime, which I think is like $100 and something. But if you pay for the pass, you can do live TV to any of your devices that have Plex installed on it.
Nice.
Using a antenna with a digital tuner. So have you ever done that where you have like an antenna and it picks up over the air stuff?
I have done that, and I've also done like some stuff where you're kind of like watching remotely on your light TV using Sling Boxes back in the day. This sounds kind of similar to that.
Or do you remember, was it Arrow? Was it Arrow TV that it was capturing you know, over the air signals
and then beaming it out.
Right.
That was before they were sued and they shut down.
Into non-existence.
And I can't remember, but I think someone bought the company and used some of the core technologies elsewhere.
I don't know if they're doing anything now.
That was a bummer. That company was onto some good stuff. And
well, it makes sense, right?
It does.
Like, it shouldn't matter, but the cable companies have a little bit of a stranglehold.
They do.
Some of the other benefits of the Plex, if you like buy the into the Plex stuff, is that you can do a DVR function. Mm-hmm. Also, it will sync with all your stuff that you have on, like, say, a NAS or, you know, things on your computer.
Yeah, it seems like if you're in a hard, like, you know, having your media server at home, you want to have all of your stuff, you know, like you said, you have that. Maybe you have that old school rare, you know, laser disc of Star Wars before they added all the computer effects after the fact. You want to watch that digitally. You've ripped it somehow. You've digitized it. Like, you can't get that anywhere else.
Right.
Plex will let you watch that on your TV and your streaming devices as long as you have that stored locally that it can tap into, right?
Yeah. So that's a more of a how to do it yourself, which I'm sure a lot of people would appreciate. But now that you have like all those different apps to choose from, you can go through the calculator or you can decide to do your own. We've given you some streaming options. But what's your number one pick if you were to just, if you had to live with one, PlayStation View?
Well, you mean of the cable replacement services?
Yeah, if you had to just pick one app to watch all your media on.
Well, right now, it would have to be PlayStation View because for me, bang for my buck, DVR, you know, I'm mostly watching my PlayStation and my Apple TV, and it has apps for both of those. That kind of fits the ecosystem and the, you know, media setup that I have in my home. I, you know, it's tough to say though. I've spent some time testing out DirecTV Now, Sling TV, Hulu TV in the past. I actually haven't really given YouTube TV a shot yet. So, as a responsible reporter, I got to do some due diligence to try that out and see what's going on. Because, you know, one of the things that's most interesting about these services is what works for you now might not work in a few months. Basically, what I'm getting at is, you know, sometimes like Viacom or whatever doesn't, you know, their contract's up with, you know, X service, and then they take all their channels away, and then they negotiate and they come back. Now, this is actually something that happens with cable television situations too. For all my friends in LA who are also Dodgers fans, there have been arguments in the past between like Time Warner and, you know, sports leagues and channels, and, you know, people miss out on local games and all sorts of stuff. It's a super frustrating situation that was an artifact of the cable world that has carried over into the cord-cutting world, because these are basically companies that are making agreements and contracts with cable TV companies, right? You know, what's nice about this is all of these services we've talked about are month-to-month. You don't have to sign a contract. So if at any point maybe you're subscribing to one streaming TV cord-cutting service to replace cable, and then they don't have, you know, those channels get pulled, you can cancel that, you can go to another service, you can kind of move back and forth, which is a nice option that you don't always have in the past when you had to sign like a 1 or 2 year agreement with a cable company.
Right, that's a good point. If I had to live with one, I would either choose, it would probably be YouTube TV or Netflix. It would be a tough call. I'd probably go with Netflix if I wanted to save some money. Or if I wanted to save a lot of money, I'd just go to twit.tv. Watch all our shows. Yes. Go to /KH and you can download and subscribe to this show. And you can just cut the cable that way. It's all the entertainment you need. We're on like 300, what is this, episode 322 or something?
I believe that's it.
Go back to
328. This is 328.
This is 328. There's so many shows. And not just ours that you can check out. So that's all the entertainment you need. Just go to Twit. But now that we've kind of covered everything, I think it's about time that we stomp down and thank a sponsor.
This episode of Know How is brought to you by FreshBooks. FreshBooks' all-new version of their cloud accounting software will make running your business fast, easy, and secure. The FreshBooks dashboard gives you quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and accounting reports like sales tax summary and profit and loss. New time tracking features make it easy to bill for time by client and by specific projects. Just press play to track your time to the minute. When it comes time to create an invoice, you'll know what you did and when you did it. You can also send professional-looking invoices online and get paid an average of 11 days faster. And with FreshBooks Payments, your customer can pay straight from their invoice. See what invoices have been sent, viewed and paid, as well as outstanding invoice totals. You can brand and set recurring invoices, send automatic payment reminders, or set automatic late fees. Stay connected to your clients and keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks app. You can send a photo of your receipt or connect your bank account and credit card to automatically import expenses daily. FreshBooks also integrates with some of the apps you already use and some you'll be glad you found. Stripe, Shopify, Gusto, Acuity Scheduling, and more. FreshBooks is adding new features and improvements to their platform on a weekly basis. You can now create and send estimates to your clients from the FreshBooks iOS app, and you can send invoices to multiple people in an organization by adding them as secondary contacts. Get a detailed overview of climate payments with the new Payments Collected report. It's no wonder they are included in the Forbes Small Giants list for 2017. Try it free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/knowhow and enter knowhow in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode of Know How.
And we're back. So the last part of this episode I wanted to dedicate to answering a question from the community. This is one we've kind of seen a lot as tablets have been getting older. And especially if you're in the Android ecosystem, choices are limited. And so this first question came in. It was about...
It was about the Nexus 7, right?
Right, but I want to make sure I get his name right. Okay, so this came from Todd Zimmerman, and he asked, he's looking for some input on a new tablet. He's been using a pair of Nexus 7 2013s, and one is starting to show its age. I'm surprised it hasn't shown its age sooner than that. It's getting stuck in a boot loop, and in its latest spat, I smacked the table, and it got out of the loop, which I'm impressed that worked. something about the gyro getting stuck. Well, one of the options he's looking at is the iPad Mini 4, 120 gigabytes, which is on sale, I guess, apparently at Best Buy this week for $300. He's not sure if he should pull the trigger. He does have a Mavic Pro, which is the DJI drone that can use the iPad as a display.
Yep.
And let's see, he was thinking of maybe getting the Mini on sale, but what are the current best Android tablets on sale right now? Because he is integrated into that ecosystem.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's tough here. The Nexus 7 tablets were fantastic. When those came out, those were some of my favorite tablets that you could possibly buy. And given that they were relatively affordable, bang for your buck, it was a really smart buy if you're super into the Android ecosystem. Now, for me personally, I really do like Android, but my favorite version of Android, like by far, is stock Android. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason being, I like the clean user interface, the simplicity of it, and I really like getting software updates directly from Google on a timely basis.
Right.
That keeps you more secure. It keeps you more up to date with the latest features of the apps that are coming out and the operating system itself. And so for me, I'm pretty diehard on stock Android. I'm not really a big fan of what Samsung does to the Android operating system, especially on tablets. Now, on phones, they do tweak things a little bit better. They're a little bit quicker with their updates. But I feel like, for the most part, tablets have been neglected. But Samsung just came out with some Galaxy Tab S3 devices, which look pretty nice and compelling. They have a interesting stylus that is a bit similar to what you're going to get on the Surface tablet and with the Apple Pencil. They have a glass back on some of their newer tablets, which makes me a little like, do I really want a glass back on my tablet?
This sounds dangerous.
Yeah, I'm using my tablets like, you know, if I'm drawing on them, I'm laying them down on the table or something like that. So I'm not totally sure if I'm into the all-glass design, but in speaking with Samsung in the past about this, they say it's just as durable as what you're going to get from a metal or plastic back tablet. You know, we'd have to put that through its paces here to find out. But with these Galaxy Tab S3s, they also offer a keyboard cover, which is similar to what I have on my iPad Pro. Now, I'm glad that Mr. Zimmerman is open to checking out iPads. For me, bang for your buck, I really think the best tablet you can buy, if you're going to be using it mostly as a tablet, as a mobile device, is really the iPad. Now, Android phones are fantastic, but Google and the whole third-party ecosystem around Android, I think for the most part, has neglected tablets. There aren't a lot of great tablet apps that are out there for Android tablets, but on the iPad, if you know, third-party developers are making really great stuff that take advantage of the extra screen real estate.
Right.
Similarly, if most of what you're going to be doing with this device, even though it's a mobile device, are desktop-like things, then you might want to consider the Microsoft Surface. Because
right.
that, even though it's a tablet, it's mobile, it really is kind of built for using desktop stuff. There's not a lot of great mobile apps on there, but there's a lot of great desktop stuff on there.
Yeah, that's what I've been using as my work machine is the Microsoft Surface Pro 4. And it is nice to have a full-on desktop when a machine that will do full-on desktop things that I can also detach the keyboard and use as a mobile device, whether that's sketching or it's, you know, just consuming different kinds of media. I would make a recommendation for that. But like when I was trying to pick my brain of the best Android devices that are tablets, I even asked Jason Howe, you know, host of All About Android. And
he has a Pixel C on his desk.
He does.
But he almost never uses it, right?
He almost never uses it, and he was hesitant to recommend it because of the price.
$600.
It's been out for a while, too, now.
Yeah.
So it's a little long in the tooth. It's still a really pretty machine, but it's just kind of hard to justify, especially if you're moving from a Nexus 7, which was a smaller form factor and a lot less steep of a price.
Yeah, this is what I talk about when I say that Google is kind of neglecting the tablet ecosystem.
Yeah.
And for a good reason. Their tablet sales have really kind of cratered. Basically, people are using tablets a bit like they're using laptops. We're holding on to our tablets for like 4 or 5 years, right?
Which is great.
Which is a great thing. And that means bang for your buck, you're going to get a lot of value for your tablet because you're going to have it for a long time. But Google hasn't updated its tablet situation for a couple years. The Pixel C will get software updates directly from Google. Mm-hmm. It's running stock Android. It checks those boxes for me. But the fact that they haven't updated in a while, that they're not talking about their tablet plans, the fact that they had the Nexus 10 and the Nexus 7, then they, you know, then they kind of killed those off, and now they have the Pixel C. Mm-hmm. Like the branding is kind of all over the place. The Nexus line as a whole has gone away. There's a lot of question marks over what is happening for tablets on the Android side.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't really tell people to buy into that on the stock Android side. I wish I could. I really wish I could. But if you really want to go with an Android tablet right now, even though I don't like what Samsung does with their operating system tweaks, I feel like that's the only one you could really go with.
That it is definitely the top of the line one right now that I would recommend. Another option, if you're okay with not doing a tablet, is a Chromebook. You can get ones with a touchscreen. One that I reviewed that I could recommend is the Acer Chromebook R11, and that one has a touchscreen. It will fold over on itself. Pretty decent specs and stuff for it too. When I used it, it ran everything fine. Because it is a Chromebook, you will be able to use Android apps on it, but you'll also, you know, be able to use it kind of like a desktop.
Not really a desktop, but a laptop. Yeah.
It's not going to be as easy to carry around as a tablet because it's bigger, it's heavier, it's going to have this keyboard attached to it at all times, but it gives you that versatility of being able to use it like a tablet or being able to use it like a laptop, and it's a lot less expensive than either the Galaxy Tab S3 or the Pixel C.
Right, right. Yeah. So, but if you are willing to make the jump from Android to something, you use the iPad Mini, right? You have
of
those?
Yeah. I have a second generation iPad Mini. I love it. It's fantastic. Got the Retina display. It's lasted me quite a while. It might be time to upgrade here pretty soon. But most of what I'm using it for is gaming. I'm using it for reading books and comics. And it's kind of just like an entertainment consumption device when I'm chilling on the couch, maybe right before bed. I want to get a little reading in. Mm-hmm. Checking emails, surfing the web is great. It's also not bad for watching video. So it's something that I'm happy to take along with me. It's not like my big iPad Pro here where I can draw on it and I can actually do some work.
Right.
For me, the iPad Mini is a lot more of a fun device than a productivity device.
Right.
But if you want something that's small, I mean, you could slide this in the back of your back pocket. Now, I wouldn't advise doing that because I don't want you to sit on it and forget that it's there.
Yep,
but it's like it's about the size of a paperback book. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I love so much about the old Nexus 7s is their size. And
me too.
Yeah, and the only tablet that offers that size and is pretty affordable at $300 on sale at Best Buy is really the iPad Mini. There's kind of nothing else out there in that class. The Galaxy Tab S3 is a little bit bigger. That's basically the size of like a regular iPad.
Right, right. Yeah, so there's some options. I think if you're willing to jump ship from Android, the iPad 4 Mini would probably be your best bet. Otherwise, if you're looking to stay with Android, top of the line is a Samsung Tab S3. If you're willing to compromise and you want more of like a productivity thing, then I say go with a Chromebook that has a touchscreen. Those are some options. So thanks for posting in the Google Plus community. If you want to ask us questions, go there, sign up. Just go to Google Plus, search for KnowHow, you'll find it there. But if you want to find out about all the stuff that we talked about today, like the apps we used, the different models of tablet that we have listed, you can go to our website at twit.tv/KH. You'll find all that information in our show notes and links to things like that. And while you're there, if you're cord cutting, you know, download and subscribe to the show. But if you want to find out what's coming up on a future episode or what kind of projects that we might be working on, or you just want to contact me directly, the best place to do that is on Twitter, and my handle is @cranky_hippo right there. Thank you, Patrick.
And I'm @NateOG.
Nice. Let's see. What is the last thing? Oh, right. I wanted to mention this. This is a part of the reason why I want you to be able to contact me is this was a tweet sent to me from @neo_1_1, but he completed the NES 3D print case that I've been working on.
But he did it in the old school colors.
He did. So he went, because I haven't had a chance to buy different colors of filament. I did it all in one color. But these are like the perfect colors. The dark gray, the kind of like, not beige, but like light gray with then the black pieces. It all look like fits together perfectly. Wow. It looks so good.
So good. So good.
So thanks a lot for sending that to me. It makes me feel bad about my 3D printer, but at least somebody is enjoying theirs, and that project looks really good. But I need to mention the third member of the team today who we wouldn't be able to do the show without him, and thanks for jumping in, is Patrick Delahanty behind the board.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, Patrick?
Most of my stuff you can find, I've got a website, fancons.com, that I've been working on lot lately.
Fancons.com.
Yeah, and it's got comic conventions, sci-fi conventions, anything you need. It's all listed. If there's a fandom you're in, we've got that convention listed. And we passed over 9,000 conventions in the database recently. So,
wow.
Ooh, that's
got everything there. So,
what's the next convention you're going to?
Nerdtacular, which is just before the 4th of July weekend, which is before this episode comes out. So after that, I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay. Cool. Very cool. Well, definitely a site that you should check out. But now that we've finished up and wrapped up everything, now that you know how, go cut the cord and find yourself an Android tablet. Cut the umbilical cord. Boop, boop.